working for Rajiv Bhatia, who you've already heard mentioned multiple times. And he's definitely a mover and shaker in the health impact assessment world. We're hoping today, San Francisco is sort of definitely a little bit ahead of the curve, in part because we have a progressive work environment. There's a lot of strong community groups pushing our work forward. There's receptive policymakers, and there's a lot of different factors that I'll sort of show. But we're hoping to use ourselves as a case example of the many different ways that health departments and other stakeholders can get involved in environment and looking at land use planning and health impact assessment. How do we go forward? There. So this is a brief overview of the three lessons that I'll be talking about. Oops. Okay. I can figure out how to work this. So this is a flowchart, basically, of our work over the past 5 years. I'll come back to it a couple times. The main things I want to point out, all the stuff in green is the stuff that San Francisco Department of Public Health has been doing regarding health impact assessment. The stuff in purple and pink are things that we've been finding technical assistance for and sort of building the capacity of others to also be doing that. One thing I want to point out also is that the majority of our work is voluntary. It's not it's happening parallel to the environmental impact assessment process that Brian was talking about. We're doing a lot of voluntary work that's sort of complementing and filling in the gaps where CEQA is missing consideration for health. And so, but aside from that, there are some tools that we've been developing that are noise modeling, air quality, and pedestrian injuries modeling that have been incorporated into some of the Eastern neighborhood studies. I will learn this. So the first lesson that we've learned is that the local health department can act as a convener and a repository of information and data. I'm going to read off my slide just because I'm a little nervous and to keep me on track. I'm sorry. In response to community residents' concern that the health and social impacts of rezoning were not being addressed by the planning department, SFDPH initiated the Eastern Neighborhoods Community Health Impact Assessment, or ENCHEA, in 2004. If you're interested in the early stages of our HI work, I encourage you to visit our website, which has the political context and sort of the driving factors that have been leading us to do the work in the late 1990s and early 2004. In response to the planning process that was not addressing community concerns, ENCHEA was designed intentionally to be collaborative, consensus-based, and involve over 20 different stakeholders whose interests would be impacted by proposed rezoning in the Eastern neighborhoods. The ENCHEA process created opportunities for meaningful public engagement, identification of potential trade-offs in development, interagency collaboration, promotion of community priorities, and consensus building. Through this work, we discovered that the public health department can play an important role in bringing diverse stakeholders, like environmentalists, unions, city agencies, architects, developers, planners, residents, and advocates for affordable housing, youth employment, childcare, immigrant rights, and youth employment, all to the same table to talk about land use planning. As stakeholders that do not usually sit at the same table together, the health lens played an important role in linking diverse interests to a common goal of creating a healthy city. With the support of the ENCHEA Council, the ENCHEA process was used to create a Healthy Development Measurement Tool, or HDMT, which could be used to evaluate the health impacts of land use plans, policies, or projects in San Francisco. The goal of the HDMT is to support comprehensive and health-responsive planning using a voluntary, systematic, and objective method. The HDMT was peer-reviewed by 7 city agencies and 20 technical experts around the country, many of whom I'm guessing are in this room at this moment, and I want to thank you for your input on our tool. To help make the process and information both transparent and accessible, the HDMT has been converted into a publicly accessible website, which is www.thehdmt.org, which we encourage you to visit. This is an overview of the HDMT organization. The Healthy City Vision is organized into 6 elements. These 6 elements are broken into 27 community health objectives that, if achieved, would result in greater and more equitable health assets and resources. Indicators and data help measure progress towards objectives and are used in evaluation of projects, plans, and policies. Development targets provide specific planning and development criteria to advance the community health objectives. Health-based rationales provide a nexus between each objective and improvements in human health. And finally, the HDMT policy and design strategy recommendations explain how objectives, indicators, and targets can be achieved. The HDMT closely mirrors the ENCHEA process. In other words, as the process developed products in each of its phases, those products serve as the foundation for the HDMT. So the HDMT process asks 2 basic questions. First is, does a place have healthy living and working conditions? And to assess this, we're using basically data that exists among all the different city agencies that we've collected into this sort of repository warehouse of a website. And then the second question is, does a plan or project advance health-related conditions? To assess this, we evaluate the extent to which a plan meets HDMT development targets. I'm going to skip that section. So a second lesson learned is that health plans can highlight trade-offs and need for comprehensive, equitable planning. One goal of the NCHEA process and the HDMT tool is to have explicit, transparent recognition of the competing and objectives and trade-offs that are being made with land use decision-making as it relates to health. Examples of competing objectives are that mixed-use developments and higher densities are associated with higher noise levels. Abiding by LEED or Energy Star standards can increase the cost of housing production, and desegregating schools may conflict with promoting neighborhood-based education. So it's important as health professionals for us to be able to identify these trade-offs and have informed discussions as we're doing policy. In our pilot application to Executive Park, we found that the proposed rerouting of an existing truck route to protect the health of current residents was actually going to increase health risk for the future residents, specifically by increasing exposure to particulate matter, poor air quality, noise, and the possibility of increased pedestrian injuries. To address these potential health impacts, we recommended that the plan be changed to include air filtration and noise barriers in building design and creating safe, well-lit pedestrian walkways. This is a map of the first pilot project that we did in Executive Park, which is in the southeast section of San Francisco. It's a fairly geographically isolated area. In this pilot, we analyzed 84 community health indicators, evaluated 87 development targets, and generated 135 recommendations of how to improve the healthiness of Executive Park planning process. If you're interested in seeing this application, the entire report is available at our website. One of the lessons that we've learned is that this is actually too much information for anybody to digest. So this is a simpler version of sort of summarizing it. This is our HDMT sustainability spider again, which shows how the Executive Park sub-area plan ranked on each of the six elements of the HDMT. If this plan had done a good job on advancing NCHEA health objectives, it would be near 100% on all six axes. However, as you can see, the plan does poorly in the areas of transportation and public infrastructure, but relatively well in housing and public safety. By evaluating the plan with a comprehensive NCHEA health lens, we were able to provide the planning department, local city government, and community residents with some concrete ways to improve the plan. For example, there is an agreement that developers will contribute $4.50 for every square foot of this project development to an infrastructure and community facilities being fund to the surrounding neighborhood. The supervisor of this district has agreed to use neighborhood community health impact assessment to inform her decision-making about how that funding should be spent. This is a prime example of how a health department can ensure that policy is informed by evidence and health needs, and not just subjective or ad hoc decision-making. This Executive Park example and other applications, which will soon be released on our website, all reaffirm the importance of using a health lens to comprehensively look at the trade-offs and equity issues that happen with land use planning and development. Third lesson learned is that it's really important to know your levers of change, both within and outside the EIR process. In developing and applying the HDMT, we have always been thinking about who could potentially use the tool and how can it advance healthy city planning. And in the past 8 months, we have been able to work with the planning department, with Bernal Heights neighborhood planning groups, with the West Soma Community Planning Task Force, with developers and with others to apply the HDMT to a variety of different land use projects and plans, both within San Francisco and outside. By working with these diverse potential users, we are showing that it is possible and helpful to conduct an HIA. In terms of the broader value of the HDMT, nationwide, as we've talked about, there's a growing movement to change how we assess effects of public policy. More specifically, policymakers, technical experts, and community members are advocating for the use of more holistic, multi-objective assessments or policies that consider the trade-off of our decisions. The HDMT also helps overcome the lack of formal mandates to consider health impacts in planning. While it's a voluntary assessment tool, in the absence of tools and guidance at the moment, its help responds to the growing need for clear methods to understand the health impacts of land use decisions. Finally, as this application more specifically illustrates, the HDMT can aid in building interagency relationships. Through the Eastern Neighborhoods applications, we are building a day-to-day working relationship with planning. in a new relationship such as ours, the relationship is not always smooth, unfortunately, but we're learning how to do this together. In addition to the HDMT work, we are also pursuing other avenues of promoting health considerations in land use planning and decision making. As I mentioned before, we're developing EIR HIA tools, which have been used in the Eastern Neighborhoods Area Plan. As a result, the draft EIR requires new mitigations to protect respiratory health, reduce noise exposure, and promises improvement measures to reduce pedestrian injuries. We've also started developing other tools, such as a retail food index, a pedestrian environmental quality index, pedestrian flow model, and a method for determining neighborhood completeness. This simultaneous work of both within and outside the EIR process has helped build SFDPH's identity as a cooperating agency with expertise in health.
Almost done.
At the same time, we've been working with partners to build capacities of other people and organizations working in health and land use. By training and building the capacity of others, it helps strengthen the numbers of potential levers for change to create healthier communities. Thus far, we've been doing this by giving presentations on the ANCHIA HDMT framework to a variety of different groups, including in Louisville, Minneapolis, Humboldt, and Geneva. We've also been working with other health departments to help them develop similar tools. Our director, as we've already mentioned, is very visionary. He helped co-found a nonprofit organization that does health impact assessment analyses and HIA consulting. SFDPH will help start a statewide coalition of health practitioners that want to incorporate public health into land use planning efforts. And through this coalition, have introduced the California Healthy Places Act, which mirrors the bill introduced last year by Senators Obama, Durbin, Clinton, and Kerry. And finally, Dr. Batty has been co-teaching an HIA class that has led to two and soon a third comprehensive HIAs of Oakland Land Use Projects. And it's bringing people like myself, I took his class the first time he taught it, and getting us involved in doing this work, which is really important. So briefly to review, there's three lessons learned, and I want to actually add a fourth one, because I think this is something really important that I've learned from working with Rajiv, and that's that one shouldn't let perfection be the enemy of the good. This means two things. First, being a good public health practitioner requires both thoroughness and timeliness. It's hard to find that balance, but both of them are necessary for health concerns to be considered in the regulatory and policy processes. Second, if we don't know how to do something, that shouldn't hold us back from trying, putting something out there, and learning from the experience. 5 years ago, few of our staff knew about general plans, area plans, zoning, impact fees, and other land use concepts. Over time, we've built our knowledge and expertise. Most of our documents are first released as drafts, and we are welcoming and encouraging feedback and input. We hope if you have ideas and comments and suggestions that you will contact me or Rajiv or other of my colleagues to help us keep improving the work. This is our website in case you are interested in reviewing the tool information. And finally, I just wanted to acknowledge the many individuals who have been involved in this process over the past couple of years. Without their support and commitment to addressing health impacts of land use decision making, this work would not be possible. Thank you for your time.